This is the Finding Business Happy podcast with me, Janelle McGrath, the founder of MarketVeep. This show is all about helping you to live your best life inside and outside of work as a leader in business. Because let's face it, what's important is finding your business happy. Thanks for joining us today on the Finding Business Happy podcast. Today we're talking about how to get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's not easy being vulnerable in business, but I've found that some of our most profound and pivotal impacts have come from these really deeply personal experiences and moments. And many times it's the feeling of upset that's fueled the speed of change. In my opinion, if you can foster vulnerability and openness, the sky is the limit. I think sometimes when people first arrive at MarketVeep, it's a bit of a culture shock. We have very open conversations around happiness. I've learned it's better to ask up front than not ask enough questions, assume, or worst case, find out later. Vulnerability in business transcends any job or role, and I've seen incredible things happen across sales, marketing, service, legal, and so many other segments. What I have found that happens after the vulnerability is the most important part. Having the ability to reflect, take action, immediate action. You have the power to change, to influence, to restart and reset, and nothing is set in stone. Just because something has always been done one way doesn't mean it needs to stay that way. After Christmas in 2019, we launched a team survey. And let's just say that reading those responses during the break was not the best way for me to spend the holidays. As a business, the only thing you can really ask of people is to be honest when you send a survey, no matter how difficult it can be to read those responses. And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm very, very grateful that they were, because none of the other actions that followed would have been possible. Without that honesty, the openness, the vulnerability, nothing can change. So when you send a survey, I recommend not just an NPS or a number ranking. Make sure to have open text box to really hear their insights. And I urge you to talk to them before and share that you truly, really, truly mean that you want their utter honesty in those responses, that you don't want them to hold back, you know, and let them know it's a safe space to share that feedback. And feedback is what impacts change. So no one's going to get in trouble. Nobody's going to get fired and nobody's going to be put on the spot. And so, you know, what did we uncover from that life-altering survey? And the number one thing was time tracking was sucking the life out of us. Everything in the feedback from Big Brother vibes, they felt untrusted, they felt pressured, all the way to frustration around forgetting to track, tracking the wrong thing, needing to go back and adjust, to just plainly being exhausted from feeling micromanaged every minute of the day. And so, you know, I'll preface this with, you know, we had time tracking in place to solve a problem. It wasn't set in place to cause discomfort, but we found other ways based from this feedback to be able to solve for those problems without causing discomfort. And so after everyone had finished, you know, they're going through their surveys, I printed out the nearly 30-page document and broke out my highlighter. And I really went to town, you know, that night through a lot of soul searching and really hearing what they said in those responses. I immediately canceled our time tracking software and patiently waited for them to come in the morning. And I couldn't wait to hear and see their responses. And so morning came and it was like a light really had flipped with positivity, new, fresh energy. There were gifts and jokes in the company chat channel again, and all just to kind of reaffirm and that we had really done the right thing, that we had listened, made immediate action, and taken their feelings and feedback to heart. And so I vowed we would never go back to time tracking, and we've kept that promise even when we went into lockdown with COVID, you know, only 3 months later after this survey had been sent out. And that survey, you know, really was a significant turning point in our organization. I met with people individually about their feedback, sat down and listened. And since then, we've made lots of changes and additions to our culture protocols. We've had lots of requests for other things in the office, you know, including our turning our conference room into a home for koala bears. And people really took it to heart and really gave funny feedback and honest feedback at the same time, but made sure to keep a human approach to it. But all jokes aside, I mean, what happened after it got turned off? You're probably thinking, you know, did the world explode? Nope. It just got better, to be completely honest. We became a certified best workplace. We felt that not just implementing the changes, but committing to the really long-term success and being measured by a third party was imperative. How they score is determined based strictly on employee feedback and then their own independent analysis. And it helps keep us having a pulse check on how we're doing. And also it helps us define areas of improvement and additional conversations we need to have as an organization. And I'll make sure to drop that application for how to apply in the resources section as well. Another positive that came out of it was we built out a whole bunch of new programs, company culture specific programs, and then we became awarded the Inc. 5000 Best Places to Work, which is one of my personal all-time company bucket list items that I wanted us to achieve. And that survey goes through extensive questions about the overall company, the culture, management styles, benefits, offerings. In addition to selection boxes and ratings, people are asked to provide examples in open text form and images. And I'll leave you with this on the topic. Our business went 100% remote in 2020. We closed all of our physical office. And since then, we've hired remote teammates in 13 states and are continuing to expand. And despite no time tracking, we still were able to grow. And so without that time tracking, it gave our team the freedom to focus on delighting clients, driving results, just being amazing humans inside and outside of work, and ultimately allowed our company culture to flourish, all because our team's vulnerability to be open, to reflect, and to allow us to change and grow. This next one is, I'll share a personal one. So during COVID, my husband was an essential worker. And during those first few weeks, months of complete lockdown, we had zero childcare. So we worked out a schedule with his boss, and I had some coverage during the day, but otherwise the toddler and I suddenly became instant office mates. And it was really a challenging time for the business with big swings up and down. With the downturn of trade shows, we started to see a big influx of traditional companies who used to exhibit at events now starting to realize, oh gosh, like I need to do digital because my audience is no longer at these events. And so, you know, they were homebound too. And so there was really this very large shift across the market. And I remember vividly taking sales calls with my son and his toy chainsaw that makes a lot of noise. And he was going through a tool phrase. So between the chainsaw and the skill saw, sales calls suddenly felt like Santa's workshop. And every now and then he'd hit the button, fire it up, and out of the corner of the Zoom call, all you would see was a little arm holding up a chainsaw. Or better yet, he would demand a front row seat on my lap. And, you know, all you can do is really take things in stride. I learned a lot during that period of COVID about mental strength, discipline, patience, you know, what it means to be a working parent, and so many other things that I wouldn't change. And I laughed just thinking about it, but it opened up a very human aspect to those sales conversations. I learned more about prospects and customers, their kids, pets, fears, hopes. It was a much deeper, more human approach to sales. And it taught me a lot about what real connection looks like in a sales call. The people in those meetings were amazing. So accepting, gracious, supportive, understanding, so thankful, quite honestly, for their humanity. And I learned from them how to make people comfortable when they are uncomfortable. For such a stressful time in COVID, I remember a lot of laughing with people on those calls. And we recently had a teammate whose toddler was homesick, and they came into the Zoom frame out of the corner. And I got so excited and it made me smile. And the teammate immediately started apologizing. And I, you know, said, please, you know, do not worry. And I shared my story of the chainsaw and the sales calls and told them, you know, we all have moments like that. And it's just okay to be human. Family is so important. And it's just work. We're all humans just trying to do good in the world. I'll give you one final example. So, you know, have you ever gotten to the final stages of signing on a new client and they send their contract to their lawyer for review and sign off? And, you know, only to find out when the contract comes back to you, they say only a couple small changes and it looks like it has been just highlighted in red, full red underlined. And instead of, you know, thinking about it and getting upset and just sending off an email back, try getting on a phone or Zoom. Talk human to human. And it's important when starting a relationship to be aligned, but you know, you have certain things in your contract for a reason, and that's okay. Those are valid concerns. But tell people why you have those items in there and share the story, not names of the people, but of the situations. Something maybe like this. Hey, Joe, thanks for hopping on to chat through the contract. I see you redlined XYZ. Let me tell you why we have that in there and share a story of a situation. Now, you may say, what if they don't sign once they hear it? Well, now you know. You are misaligned. You're not a fit. But isn't that better knowing now upfront than waiting until after you begin with a new client? You know, having a vulnerable conversation upfront helps make sure everyone understands and builds a better relationship. And 9 out of 10 times that I've had to encounter this, the conversation ends something like this. Wow, that makes sense why you have that in there. So as a leader, you can't get it right 100% of the time. The biggest lesson you can do is to be vulnerable enough to ask for feedback, open to making changes, and improve your organization. Sharing what you feel like might feel like too much info can open up new ways of thinking, deeper connection, and a better way of doing things, all because you were a little uncomfortable. It's such a small price to pay for what we ended up getting in return, and I hope you too will get more comfortable being uncomfortable. Thank you for listening to Finding Business Happy with me, Janelle McGrath, the founder of MarketVeep. If you want a roadmap to finding and keeping your business happy, download our free guide now at marketveep.com/happy.